as we return to this letter written by the Apostle John, his first epistle. This morning we want to consider verses 5 down through verse 7, although I'll make mention of the fact that we'll spend most of our time really in verse 5 of this chapter this morning. As we do so, I want to consider with you what I've entitled The Great Divide. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 5, we'll read down through verse 7, and then we'll have a word of prayer. John writes and says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come to study together the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that is revealed to us in this letter, the letter of 1 John. Lord, this morning as we consider the thought that our God is light, that, Lord, you would help us to understand you for who you are, for this is the very essence of our God. And Lord, I pray that we would understand what that means and how we should relate to you, the God of light, as we now live day by day. So, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for our time together. We'll thank you, and we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. There has been a great question that mankind has wrestled with in every age. And that question is simply this: who is God? Who is God? Every religious system and every system of thought has sought to answer that very question. Who is God? John in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." It is important that we understand who our God is, and our view of our God is essential to the way that we will live. And as a matter of fact, all of our thoughts and theology hinge upon our belief of God. David Jackman states, "If our view of God is distorted, everything else is bound to be out of joint." William Barclay makes this observation: "Our individual characters will be determined by the character of the God whom we worship." And so it is essential that we understand who our God is. And John begins the body of his letter by dealing with the very essence of God. And John will set to us two opposing points of view common to us throughout the scripture. John is going to give us the great divide between light and darkness, and he is going to declare that God is light. As we come to verse 5, we're reminded of this: "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." John wants us to be reminded that that which he shares concerning God is not coming to us from the very mind of man or from the heart of man. It is coming from the very God himself. It is God that has given to us this message that he is light. So again, it reads, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." And that message is, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. From the very outset of his letter, John seeks to declare for us what is the essence of our God. In fact, in this letter, John's going to make two such statements. He is going to say in the first part in this section here that God is light. And he's also going to remind us that God is love. That first thought that God is light is really going to be the theme of the first two chapters. And then in chapters 3 through 5, the theme will be that God is love. As you and I begin to consider now this encompassing truth about God, we're reminded that where there is light, there is no darkness. Because these two are diametrically opposed, between them is a great divide. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So as we learn about our God, we understand that He is light. We're going to discover what it means that God is light, but we're also reminded that in God there is no darkness, and there is a great divide between light and darkness. Paul writes to us and reminds us in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14 that we are to separate ourselves from this world. And he gives us the reason for it by asking us this question: what communion, what fellowship hath light with darkness? There are two opposing views. There is light and there is darkness. And John wants us to understand that God is a God of light. There can be no communion with light and darkness. And in God there is no darkness at all. So John here in this letter begins by reminding us that our fellowship with God occurs as we walk in light. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from our sin. One of the themes of this letter is the theme of fellowship, and there is fellowship with the God of light when we walk in light. I want this morning to consider the two sides of this great divide and learn more how we can know the fullness of joy that comes through our fellowship with God, the God of light. As we begin this morning, I want you to look with me at what I've called the lucidity of light. There is a clarity that comes. There is an understanding that comes to us because of light. When we consider the statement that God is light and in Him there is no darkness, we want to try to understand what that teaches us about our God. John has taught us in very simple thought that God is light. In His very essence, He is light. So what does it mean that our God is a God of light? What does that refer to? Now I have to admit to you that when I first read this letter in preparation for this study, that as I came to that section, my mind immediately thought of one simple truth concerning our God. It's a part of Him being light. But as I went and I developed and I studied further, I found out that there is more for us to consider under the thought that God is light than what we might typically consider when we hear that God is a God of light. And so this morning I want to bring those out to you, and I want you to see them with me. If we say that God is a God of light, and He is, what's that teach us about our God? Well, number one, it teaches us that God is a God of splendor and a God of glory. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That teaches us that God is a God of splendor. He is a God of glory. Let me ask you a question this morning. What image comes to your mind if I mention to you the coming of the Lord? What picture comes to your mind? Here's what comes to my mind. Ready? Something like that. When I think of the coming of the Lord, we consider it in the sense of light to shine through the darkness. When you're driving around and you see the sun coming through the clouds and you see the rays of light coming down, our mind begins to somewhat think of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because associated with light, it's glory and splendor. And so for us, we associate the light with those things. And there is a glory and a splendor when we consider that our God is a God of light. By the way, the scripture kind of shares that with us, does it not? In Psalm 19 and verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Later on in that very same psalm, he goes on and says this in verses 4 and 5. "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race." The sun represents the glory
As the bridegroom coming on that glorious day to receive his bride, there is a glory and a splendor that is associated with light. So when John says to us that our God is light, he is reminding us of the very glory and the splendor and the majesty of God. What a remarkable thought that you and I need to keep before us, that our God is glorious. He is filled with majesty and splendor. There is a wrong view of our God today, and part of that view rejects the notion of our God glorious, filled with majesty. We have exalted self above God. And in many today, the mind of man and the thoughts of man and the ways of man are highly exalted above God himself. But God makes it very clear to us, does he not, that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. There is none like unto our God, so glorious and majestic. He is a wonderful God, full of splendor. But as I consider the thought again that God is light, I'm also reminded of this, that God is a God who is revealing. Light reveals. And God, who is a God of light, is a God who is revealing. There's two aspects I want you to see with me concerning that. When I consider the fact that our God is a God who is a revealing God, I am reminded, first of all, that he is a self-revealing God. Our God is able to be known. There are many within the world of religion that think that God is unknowable. Matter of fact, the Greeks had a statue to the unknown God, just in case there was one out there that they could not know nor understand. Paul addressed that on Mars Hill. Yet the very fact is that God in essence is light, which means that he reveals himself to us. Light by nature, folks, cannot be hidden. It must be seen. When the sun rises, darkness is removed and all is able to be seen because light cannot be hidden. C.S. Lewis made this observation in Effects of Light. He said, "We believe the sun has risen not because we see it, but because by it we see everything else." Because light has an ability to penetrate the darkness. You know it's morning in your room with the blinds closed because it gets brighter in the room when the sun is shining. You don't know that the sun is up because you didn't get out of bed yet and look out the window and see it there. But because the light is shining through, you realize night and darkness has passed and the day has now broken upon me. It's time to get up. We know that there is light, and light reveals. God is a God of light, and therefore he wants to be seen, and he wants to be known. God has revealed himself to us. He has made himself known. The heavens declare his glory, and his word was given that we might learn more of him. God is a God who reveals himself, but also we understand that God as light possesses a revealing quality. Light reveals the flaws and stains that are hidden in the shadows. Light is the great revealer. In the dim light of the morning, while you're getting ready and trying not to disturb everyone else, it's hard to distinguish sometimes, for men especially, the difference between blue socks and black socks. They're kind of hard to tell in the dimness of the light. So you put on what you think is a pair of black socks, and then you realize that when you get out into the light that you look foolish because you are wearing blue socks and they do not go with your black pants. Why? Because the light reveals the flaw. When you turn on the light, it reveals those things which are hidden. And as you and I live this life and we hold our lives up to the light of God, we find those areas in our lives that we have to confess and we have to change because he alone is light. And he is the standard by which we are measured. Oh, we may look good as we hold the dim light of other people up in front of us. And we might be able to claim, I am so much better and I'm so good because this light isn't all that bright. But folks, when you hold yourself up to the light of God, you realize what areas of life need to be corrected, what things need to be changed. For God has a revealing quality. We also learn and discover this, that God is a God capable of guiding us. One of the greatest functions of light is that it guides the way. To say that God is a God of light is to say that he is capable of being the one who can clearly guide us in the way that we should go. By the way, God promises that he will guide us with his own eye, Psalm 32 and verse 8. And in Psalm 119:05, we're told that by his word, he will guide us, for it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Our God is capable of guiding us because he is the God of light. But also we learn this, that God is a God of comfort. If God is light, then God is also a God of comfort. Darkness often brings fear, especially in the lives of children. Darkness conceals danger. Yet the light reveals and it brings comfort. Every parent in this room has experienced the responsibility of having to comfort a child who is frightened. And the way we do that is by turning on the light. They're scared of the dark, so we put within their room a nightlight. Around Christmas time, our kids have trees that are lit for Christmas in their rooms, and they're rather bright. When the little boys would go to bed, they would want the lights still on, so we would leave those plugged in, but before I went to bed, I'd unplug them. One night, I unplugged the lights, and that little boy sat straight up. What happened to the light? I'll put the nightlight in, but the tree comes off. All right. Why? Because light brings comfort to us. Most people don't enjoy darkness. It has a sense of off-putting us, but light brings to us comfort. Our God is a God of comfort who has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Finally, I want you to see this with me, and this is the one that I'll admit is the first thing that I thought of and the only thing that I thought of, and that is this. Our God as a God of light is a holy God. When we say that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, it is reminding us that our God is a holy God. No darkness dwells in him. He is fully, completely without sin. An examination of God reveals that there is no hidden sin, no dark secret, for he alone is light. He is absolutely pure, absolutely righteous. He is absolutely holy, and in him we can rest. We serve a holy God. The very essence of our God, he is holy. He is a God of light. Now, folks, that is one side of this divide. And there's another side I need you to see with me. And that's the side of darkness. And I want you to consider with me what I've called the dissonance of darkness. God is light. And because he is light, we must understand that there is an opposing side, and that is darkness. For there is always an enemy to that which is good. The enemy to truth is error. The enemy to right is wrong. The enemy of good is evil. The enemy of holiness is sin. And the enemy of light is darkness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we are to say that I have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light and not in the darkness. God is light. But there is darkness. What does the darkness mean as we consider? Or number one, I want you to see this with me. Darkness represents the Christless life. It represents a Christless life. John, in the next few
chapters will actually refer to the fact that darkness is past and the truth now of the true light now shineth. The scripture clearly teaches us that we were once in darkness, but now we've been made the children of light. And we are to walk now as children of light. I want you to see some other scriptures with me. I'm just going to put the references up here for you this morning. I'll have you jot them down and you can look them up on your own. But let me just mention a few of these which remind us of the life that we had before Jesus Christ, this Christless life. First of all, we have Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. And here's what it says. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 reads, Who, that being the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 4 and 5. We are no longer in darkness, but we are children of the day. It says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Before we came to Jesus Christ, before He was part of our lives, we were in darkness. But now we are children of the light, and the challenge is we are to walk in the light, no longer to walk in darkness. Why? Because darkness is hostile towards the light. In John's Gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You say, what's that verse mean? Well, another translation put it this way, darkness overcame it not. And actually, if you look up the word in the original language, that word comprehend, it is a word that speaks of a conflict. It speaks of a battle. And so what John is here picturing for us is that there is a hostility that the darkness has towards the light. And the Bible tells us very clearly that men love darkness rather than the light. There is hostility towards light for those who live in darkness. There is a hostility between good and evil, a hostility between truth and error, a hostility that exists between the flesh and the spirit. They are contrary the one to the other. They are opposing points of view. They are on the opposite sides of a great divide. And you and I are to walk in light because there is a hostility of darkness towards the light. And we are no longer in darkness, we are in the light. And our God is a God of light. Our old sinful nature that loved the darkness desires to keep us in that darkness and it hates the light. We are to live not in that darkness, but we are to live in the light. When you and I live, folks, in the darkness, and that darkness here really refers to a life given over to sin. We'll see that later on. When you and I live perpetually in sin and refuse to deal with sin and confess our sin, and we walk in darkness, we are really sharing in the hostility that darkness has for the light. And in essence, sharing a hostility towards the very God who saved us. Let us be on guard that when we seek to shut God out, who is light, that we simply are remaining in hostility toward Him, but instead let's let God, who is light, come and shine in our hearts and reveal to us our hidden sins. Darkness not only is hostile towards the light, but darkness is the home of the enemies of Christ. When you consider the thought of darkness, we understand that darkness is the home to the enemies of Christ. I want to remind you of what Paul taught us in Ephesians chapter 6 concerning our spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. See, the enemies of Christ live in darkness. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our wrestling, our spiritual warfare is against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. These who now rule in darkness have for them a place reserved in utter darkness. It will be their home. All those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the life and who is light, will find their home in darkness, separated from God in all eternity. Why would you today want to share in that life? A life of darkness. For God is light, and He has revealed to us the light. He has brought us from darkness to the light. And John says, I'm going to tell you, there's a great divide between light and darkness. We need to see it and understand it. Finally, darkness is characterized as unfruitful. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, we're told this: have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, you can't grow things in darkness. There's a need for light. If you remove a plant from the light, its growth is arrested. If you remove a believer from God's life, our spiritual growth is going to be arrested. See, folks, we're told to grow. How? In grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For He is light. Our God is a God of light, and we are to walk in the light that we might grow. But darkness, when we live in darkness, it's unfruitful. By the way, are we not told in Scripture that we are to bear fruit for the Lord? Are we not to produce the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? We are. Well, how will you and I be able to produce fruit if we live within the darkness? God says we are to walk in the light. So verse 5 again says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And folks, you and I cannot say that we are in fellowship with God if we are walking still in darkness. We must walk in the light. John writes this portion to help us understand of the great divide that exists between light and darkness. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Because this is true, and it is. When you have a right understanding about God, we understand that light and darkness matter. And how we live matters. And folks, if we're wrong about our view of God in this matter, the other areas of our theology are also going to suffer. God is, in His very essence, light. And we worship a God of light. We serve a glorious God who, by His grace, has made Himself known to us. And as we begin to know God and see Him for who He is, He will further reveal to us the areas that need to change within our own life for His glory's sake. He desires to guide us in the way that we should go. And we can always measure our progress by the very standard of His life. Beloved, the God of light wants to have fellowship with you. John writes and says, you'll be reminded, in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He longs to have fellowship. And He longs that from that fellowship, verse 4, that our joy may be full. If you and I are going to enjoy the fellowship with God, then you have to know that He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we can no longer walk in darkness, but must walk as children of light. The other option, folks, if we reject light, is to live in darkness. I think many are doing so and are doing so foolishly. But I think we ought to consider this morning, what side of the great divide are you on? Are you walking in the light or still trying to walk in darkness? Are we truly allowing God to change us and to mold us and conform us to the image of His dear Son? Or have we thanked Him for the light which revealed our need of salvation, but reject that light for our sanctification? Are we walking in the light or walking in darkness? You cannot say you are in fellowship with God while walking in the darkness. Fellowship comes to those who walk in the light, for He is light. And light and darkness are on polar opposites. There's a great divide between the two. There is no middle ground. Let's pray together, please. Father, we thank You this morning for our time together. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to consider from this portion of Scripture these truths. And Lord, I ask and pray that You would help us to understand together that You are light, and in You there is no darkness at all. Father, I pray that as we understand that who You are is a God of light, that we would desire to walk as children of light and not in darkness. For we cannot have fellowship with You if we choose to live in the darkness of our sin. Father, we thank You that You have revealed this to us. We thank You that You make Yourself known. And Father, You desire that we know You and that You are known of us. And thank You, Lord, for the relationship that You have made possible. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that is still in darkness, they've never received the light of the gospel, they've never been saved, I pray that the day would be the day of their salvation. So, Father, again, we give You thanks and praise for this opportunity to be together to study Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.